I'm glad I know who holds tomorrow, don't you? Man, turn if you would in your Bibles to Colossians. It may take you a while to find that one, so I'll give you some time. Colossians, just before Thessalonians and just after Philippians. Let me read you one more. One more thing that was sent to me. I like the way this was stated about concerning the message this morning. It says, there are two sorts of churches that will not be able to reach the sexual revolution's refugees. The first is a church that has given up on the truth of the Scriptures, including on marriage and sexuality, and has nothing to say to a fallen world. The second is a church that screams with outrage at those who disagree, which will have nothing to say to those who are looking for a new birth. We must stand with conviction and with kindness, with truth and with grace. We must hold to our views and love those who hate us for them. Is that good? Good way to put it. We must speak not only Christian truths. I love this. We must speak with a Christian accent. We must say what Jesus has revealed, and we must say those things the way Jesus does, with mercy, and I love this, and with an invitation to new life. Isn't that good? I like the way that's stated. And I think as time goes forward, is taking... Oh, I got busted looking at my phone while she was singing. Somebody took a picture. I promised I was looking at that quote. So lots of people sending me quotes, and I've sifted through a bunch of them. And I'd encourage you, I don't endorse Mr. Franklin Graham on everything he does, but he's sure standing up for what's right. He'd be a good one to read. It's kind of his comments are good. I tell you, as good as anybody was Huckabee. Did as good as anybody of understanding and putting out the truth of what the Bible says and why we stand where we stand. He did a very good job. And not that I'm any better at it. People keep buzzing me. I don't normally bring my phone to the pulpit, by the way. And so Mike Huckabee, Franklin Graham. You can now go on Paul Chappell's site, too. Paul Chappell has a good section on it, too. I'm just trying to give you places you can read and that would help you to be able to articulate yourself what you believe. And the better you can illustrate it and those things for people who do ask. And so I'd encourage you to do as much reading as possible. Just be careful who you read. And so, anyway, Colossians chapter 3. Back in 2011, this verse was our theme verse. And as I was preparing for messages this week, this really touched my heart, came back to my heart. And that is that Christ is the answer for everything. And He is the one who holds tomorrow. And so as we think about what's going on in our society, we've got to remember that Christ is our all in all, that He is everything. Look at verse 11. And where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian or Scythian, bond nor free, but look at this, but Christ is all and in all. Christ is all and in all. In verse 10, he talks about putting on the new man, but just want to take a little time and remind us that Christ is all we need. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love. We just pray again for your blessings as we speak, as we preach. And I pray there would be encouragement to those who have stuck it out for this afternoon service. In Jesus' name, amen. Of course, we know Colossians is a prison epistle written by Paul. He's countering the Jewish legalism that was going on in the day and the Greek philosophy. Also the mysticism, and many of these things were being admixtured or being added to Christianity. And Paul was reminding them what true Christianity is. And in verse 1 through 4, we are encouraged to seek the heavenly. Aren't you glad of that? We are to seek first the kingdom of God. Set your affections, it says in verse 2, on things above and not on things on the earth. In verses 5 through 9, we're encouraged to lay aside earthly things and put on the new man. In verses 10 through 17, we must lay aside that old nature, lay aside that fleshly appetite and put on the new man. I'm glad that when I got saved, I was given a new want to. I'm a new creature in Christ, the Bible says. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't serve God and I don't obey the word of God, as we said this morning, because I have to. I do it because I want to. I do it because I love Him who gave His life for me. I don't submit or yield to Him because I feel like He's going to strike me down with lightning. I submit and yield to Him because He gave His Son to die for me, that I might have eternal life. And so we ought to put off the earthly, put off the old man and put on the new man. If you think about taking off your jacket, taking off the old man and putting on the jacket, putting on the new man. Having put on the new man, we realize that we are, again, new creatures, that we have been renewed. And by the way, we renew day by day, Corinthians tells us, as we read the scriptures, as we study, as we develop that relationship with Jesus Christ. And we ought to gain knowledge of Him, of our Lord Jesus, in order that we might be conformed to be like Him. Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says we are conformed into the image of His Son. Romans chapter 12 says we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. How? By the Word of God. As we think about 2 Corinthians 3:18, where it says, we all with open face look into a glass, the mirror of God's Word, and there behold the face of Jesus. And as we behold the face of Jesus, as we read our Bible and Scriptures, we are changed in that same image. As you read your Bible, it is impacting you whether you understand it or not. I'm not saying you should absolutely pray, and I do. Every my daily Bible reading, I pray Psalm 119, verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I want the Holy Spirit to open my eyes, I may understand what I'm reading. And by the way, on my daily Bible reading, I just wrote that on the back of my schedule of reading so that I remember to do that every time I open my Bible. It's amazing how you forget. And I'm a man of routine and I still forget. And we pray to ask the Lord to help us to understand what we're reading, but at the same time, understanding that what you read will help you no matter whether you understand it or not. So as we read the Bible, we see the Lord Jesus Christ. Y'all remember that saying Brother Stewart started with us a long time ago. When the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. That's 2 Corinthians. You can write that down. Look it up. 3:18. As we look into the mirror, the Word of God is a mirror. We behold the image of Christ, and we are changed in that same image from glory to glory. As we study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit transforms us into the image of Jesus Christ as we yield to Him, as we read of Him. And so that is our goal as Christians. Y'all know that, to be like Jesus Christ. A Christian should be known by their Christ-likeness. I like that. We all should have a Christian accent as we speak to other people. They should be able to, even by our tone and by what we say, know that we are Christians. I would sing an old song, but I'm not going to do that for you. Maybe I'll skip it. Some of y'all remember that old camp song, "We are known by our Christians, by our love." You know that? How many of y'all know that one? Like two of you. That dates everybody, because that one, I haven't heard that one since I was a little kid. Like, it was on a Monday, "Somebody Touched Me." Y'all remember those old songs? "Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do," you remember? Y'all know that one? "Do Lord"? All right, how many of y'all youth know "Do Lord"? And what? Okay, so have you sang that with them? No. Okay. Love the old choruses growing up. We are to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Christ's likeness. He is all and in all. He's the sick person's doctor. He's the hungry person's food. He's the thirsty person's drink. Christ is all we need. He is all we need. He's all we need to the church and what we go through and what we desire, what we need. I preached this again back in 2011 about understanding that in Christ that we are all the same. In other words, it's level at the foot of the cross. There's not rich and poor with God. Everybody understand? There's not Greek nor Jew. That's what it's saying there in verse 11. There's not barbarian or Scythian, bond or free. We're all the same to Him. God is no respecter of persons. Aren't you glad of that? I'm so glad, and I'm going to skip a lot of the notes there, but I'm so glad that God is no respecter of persons. And no matter my social status, no matter my build, no matter my physical, doesn't matter. God loves us all. Paul was simply saying when you come to the back door of the church that it's level. In other words, there's no country, creed, or culture, or class. All that's laid aside when you walk into the church. And that should be absolutely true because that's the way it is with God. We should never look at those who may be a little different. You know, some of y'all make fun of my Texas vernacular and so forth. Well, I grew up in Texas, 60 miles north of here. By the way, I could be a lot worse. My papa, who I adored and loved growing up, his speech was, he would say wrench for rents and other things that I grew up around that I recognize. But, you know, we're just a little country. Some of you guys are from the north, you know. It's good that we have more Yankees joining the church, I guess. And some culture differences, some in here were raised differently. Some are of a different social class. But as a Christian, there should be, that should not matter. It should, and when you come into these doors, we're all the same. We're all the same. That's why we need to be careful that we don't become Pharisees and Sadducees, look down upon people who may look a little different than we are. Amen? We're to reach all people. Christ is all and in all. He is able to do anything. He is the all of creation. I mentioned this morning. He created all things. And we might, or else we might have never been. Listen, God created everything. And we should commit ourselves to Him. Ecclesiastes says, remember your Creator, what? Youth, you remember that one? Remember the Creator and what? None of y'all know that verse? They should know it in the days of your youth, right? We should remember our Creator. He is Christ. God is all of all in creation. I want to remind you again, God created all things. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it really is, I maybe didn't develop it as good as I wanted to this morning, but it really does come down to creation. It really comes back to being accountable to the Creator. And so we are accountable to Him. He is all in all in the guidance that He gives us. And He's not very far from any of us, Acts 17 says. He is there to lead and guide us, and He knows the order of events in our life. He has determined the bounds of our habitation. He has determined when and where and we would be born. I'm so thankful I was born in America. And what is still, with its faults, it's still the greatest country on earth. Amen. And, but God determined those times. God determined the places. God is the God of all guidance. God is the God of redemption and justification. I'm glad I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, washed by the blood of the Lamb, and He alone forgives us. We've been justified before God. 1 John 2:2 says, He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. And Jesus Christ died and He bled on Calvary to cover my sins, to forgive me, and that my sins might be forgiven. He is the redemption. He is all in all in redemption. I hope today you know you're saved. Hope you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I love that word justified, and we have just as if we'd never sinned. I'm glad that God forgives and forgets. That's something us human beings, it's impossible for us to do. We can forgive, but we don't forget. God forgets. You say, well, how is that possible? I don't know. He's God. He can do it. It's amazing, isn't it? And God is God of all in redemption. He is who softens our heart and convicts us and opens our eyes to the gospel. He's the one that draws us close to Him. He's the one who loves us and desires that all should be saved. And again, I hope that you're saved today. He is God is all the all in comfort. John chapter 14, He said, I go away, but what? I will send a comforter. And so He is our comforter. And when we go through those dark trials and storms of life, He is there to comfort our heart. And He will comfort you. He will give you that peace that passes all understanding. He will guide you. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer and Justifier, but He's also the Comforter. The Comforter. And He's there to help us and called alongside us to help us. God is the God of all in strength. He is our arm and our back and bears all things for us. Cast all our cares upon Him, for He cares for us. He could carry anything. He's God. And we should cast our cares upon Him. He is the God of all strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I am weak, He is strong. Understanding that He is the God of all strength. He is the God of all at the time of death. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. I'm going to misquote it. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's just the valley of the shadow of death. I don't have to fear death. He is the all of all in death. It's just a shadow. 1 Corinthians 15, he takes the sting out of death. Again, I'm a little scared about how I'm going to die, but I'm not scared about dying. And neither should you if you're a Christian. I'm not scared about dying. You can only threaten me with heaven, amen? Amen. I still think about the Casillases all the time when I think about that statement. You can only threaten me with death. When Brother John Casillas was here at our missions conference about a year before he was martyred and died there on the mission field, he said those words. He said, I'm going back to Mexico. They can only threaten me with heaven. Something to that effect. It was real close to that. And sure enough, they were killed on the mission field. God takes the sting of death out. He is able also, the God of judgment. And let me clarify again that God is a God of love. There's no doubt. But understand that God is a just God, and therefore He is always fair. And He will judge those who sin and those who do not yield to His will and His way. He is the God of judgment. We ought to put on the new man. Verse 12 says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Remember what forbearing means? Put up with each other. That's what it means, basically. Right? Sometimes, you know, as a Christian, you put on the new man. You just got to put up with each other. Doesn't mean we always, you know, gushy, gushy, kissy, kissy. But we can put up with each other. You never did that with your brother or sister growing up? Sure. Don't be careful. Don't talk about your spouse that way. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. For any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on what? Charity, love in action. And we need to be careful as we think about and put on that new man to act accordingly, to have a Christ-like spirit. Forgive one another. Christ forgave us. Amen? Amen. He is all in all in eternity. And Jesus Christ is soon to return. It could happen today. And we will live with Him throughout all eternity. Simple message this afternoon, and a short one. The foot of the cross is level. God is no respecter of persons. And we should do our very best with His help not to be a respecter of persons. Understanding that there is no difference with the Lord. And as people come to our church, we should not look at them as black or white or rich or poor or whatever the case is. But we should see them as our fellow Christian family. Christ is our all, and He is all we need in salvation. He's all we need at work. He's all we need at school, teenagers. He's all we need at church. He's all we need when we're sick in bed. He's all we need. Christ is all I need. Christ is all I need. All I need. It's a great song. And He is all we need. Let's all stand. Hymn 118, I Need Thee Every Hour. Very appropriate song, considering the message. Let's remember in the dark day which we live in that Christ is all we need. Lord, we thank You for this time. And Lord, we thank You that You are all we need. In every situation, help us to lean upon You. Help us to cast our care upon You. Lord, help us to be comforted by the Scriptures today, knowing that You do bear all things. We thank You, Lord, for our salvation, for justification and redemption. Thank You for giving Your dear Son for us that we might have eternal life. Lord, we're looking forward to the day in which we spend eternity with You and Your dear Son. In Jesus' name, amen. Hymn 118.